that song brought our minds to Matthew chapter 5. I want to open up there at Matthew chapter 5. That song called from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. We read this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Jesus goes on in verse 13 to say, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned?" He says, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden." So he's talking about us and our things that we should be doing. But in verse 17 is what I want to focus on tonight. And in verse 17, he talks about himself. Let's read. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." The Jews, as shown by their actions, maybe not their words, long to get rid of the law. And we see that with their actions in the fact that they're making up their own laws that are apart, that are separate. I think they're probably fulfilling part of Amos chapter 8 in that. Jesus states what he was sent to accomplish, though, next. So let's look at these really in three sections. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." He did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, the law being the first five books, really Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the second telling. He did not come to destroy that portion of civil government. He did not come to destroy the prophets and the prophecies that they would have said about the Christ. To destroy the law and the prophets in and of themselves, if Jesus was the Christ, would have nullified the fact that he is the Christ, because it would cause anarchy, it would cause civil disobedience, it would have caused all of these things which the Christ was not to bring. The Christ was supposed to bring order amongst the chaos that had existed under the way that the Jews had changed the way in which they were following the law. But what Christ did come to do is to fulfill. I want to look at a couple of ways in which he fulfilled the old law. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He says, "He did not come to destroy, but he came to fulfill." So let's look briefly at some of those ways. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says that he was without sin. We know that the Christ was going to be like a Passover lamb. The Christ needed to be spotless and without blemish. Chapter 5 and verse 21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." His enemies could find no sin in him. They had to bring up false witnesses against him. We can go to his baptism and look at his baptism as a fulfillment of the law. This is Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. John saying that I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me to be baptized. Jesus answered him and said, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So Jesus kept the commands that were necessary for him to keep as a Jew. That would entail all of the sacrifices, all of the cleansing, all of the ritualistic things. Jesus kept each of those to their fullest because he was without sin. He also fulfilled the types of the law. In his death, he fulfilled a plethora of things. He fulfilled the idea of being the first fruits of the resurrection, fulfilled that of providing water, like the water in the wilderness. He was the Lamb of God toward which all animal sacrifices point. We can read that in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, talking about the Word being with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and this is pointing to Jesus the Christ. And so John the Baptist, in John chapter 1 and verse 29, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me a man comes who was preferred before me, for he was before me.'" Jesus fulfilled the blood requirements of the law. Without shedding of blood, we can know that there is no remission of sins, and the blood of bulls and goats could not grant the remission of sins that are underneath the new covenant, but the Christ and his sacrifice with his blood satisfies the demands for justice. We can go in Hebrews chapter 9 to read this. The book of Hebrews is a great example of where we can go to look at the sacrifices and how Jesus typifies and fulfills those type requirements that the old law said about as a precedent. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13 says, "For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death." Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. And we can go to John chapter 19 and see, as we talked about in class, the conclusion of the whole matter. Reading that at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, John chapter 19 and verse 30, Jesus gives us the conclusion of the whole matter that he'd brought up in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, he explains the purpose for which he was sent. It was not to destroy, but it was to fulfill. But John chapter 19, in verse 30, Jesus is on the cross. Jesus is being put to death. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." That idea of finished is the idea of being fulfilled. It is fulfilled. So when Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 said that he did not come to destroy, but to fulfill, he at his death says that it is fulfilled. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The covenant was predicted. We can go to Jeremiah chapter 9 to read that. We know that via Romans that Christ has established a new covenant. He has fulfilled the old law. He fulfilled all of the types. He fulfilled that the necessary of the necessity of the blood sacrifice to cover all of our sins. This should be the Jesus that we're preaching as we're reading through Acts, and we're looking at how did our brethren in the first century, the apostles and other disciples, how did they go to others and preach Jesus to them when they went to his death? And they said, this is what he's fulfilled in his death. Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus himself says, it is fulfilled, it is finished. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 before we close our thoughts. Romans chapter 1, and specifically verse 16, Jesus did what he came to do. He came to fulfill, or he came to complete the law, and he did that. We can take advantage of this completion of the law via the new covenant that he established with his blood. So Jesus is right there in the middle in completing the old law, but establishing the new covenant via his blood. Let's look at verse 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, Paul writes to our brethren in Rome, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Moses warned of those that we read about with Stephen, about those who would look to see the Christ, look towards the promise, but not follow the commands of God. Jesus came to fulfill not only the law, but the prophets as well. So as we're going about our lives, as we're going through the rest of this week, let's not be ashamed to share the gospel of Christ. Let's not be ashamed to say that Jesus has fulfilled the old law, but he's established the new covenant. And let's share the, as we talked about on Sunday, the faith that we should have, the focus that we should have, and then the looking forward that we should have for the growth of the kingdom. If there's anything that we can do for anyone this evening in terms of salvation that is freely offered by God to all mankind, as we've just read, or if there's anything that we can do, if you need to ask for prayers of the congregation, won't you come forward while we stand and while we sing? All to Jesus.